Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful that you tuned in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things we find in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe it's favorable, or maybe it's something that you don't agree with, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to spend time and devote a study to, certainly let us hear from you. And you can do so by contacting us by the address given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Also, we want to remind you that if you're interested in studying the Bible, but you want to do so at your own pace, at your own time, in the privacy of your own home, there is a website that we can direct you to that will enable you to do just that very thing. Or maybe there is a Bible subject that you'd like to learn more about. Again, there's a website that you can go to. You can type in whatever the subject that is that you're interested in, and it will take you to any number of articles that are written dealing with that subject. And also, if you'd like to listen to some of these radio broadcasts that may have a subject of interest, in fact, the radio programs that have been done this year, the year 2020, have all been given titles. And so you can look at those titles, and at those that are of interest to you, you can go directly to that broadcast and hear what we've said concerning that subject. This website that we're talking about is www.eastabbotville.org. We urge you to make use of it, and certainly we hope that you will. 3,000 years ago, David asked a question that really, I think, is on the mind of every generation that comes and goes. In Psalms 8, verse 4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" You know, the evolutionists say that man is nature's accident. He's evolved from primeval slime through a succession of life forms over billions of years, and finally, he is arrived at a step that is just above the apes. And so man is now a high-class ape, all dressed up, but nowhere to go. And who knows what the next stage of evolution will produce? Meanwhile, there's no purpose to a man's life than an empty soft drink cup that may have been tossed by the side of the road. It's just simply no longer useful. And so is the purpose of man's life. But friends, the psalmist has a higher view. He is in awe. He is in amazement of the vast universe that surrounds him. Listen here in Psalms 8 and verse 3. "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." And then he is humbled by man's seemingly insignificance. Notice what he says in verses 4 through 6. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him but little lower than God, and crownedest him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands." Remember that Job asked pretty much the same question. We read in Job chapter 7, beginning there with verse 16, "I loathe my life. I will not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man, that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thy mind upon him? We remember the story of Job. We remember how that everything was taken away from him. And it's in this moment, Job is in despair. He's not understanding God's interest in such a miserable creature. David's question is a question that doesn't come out of the same circumstances of Job. But David's question comes from amazement of awe of God. That first man that we read about in verse 4 of Psalms 8 refers in the general sense to frail mortal man. But the second man is from Adam, which is the name that we know that was first given to the one that was made in the image of God. And then, of course, we know they fell into sin. It's probable that David is made to wonder why God is still concerned about man that has fallen so low since his exalted beginnings in the Garden of Eden. You know, too, it's easier to imagine the circumstances of the writing of this Psalms, the 8th chapter. In thought, it's obvious that David is a lad again. He's keeping his flocks on the plains of Bethlehem. And yet then, alone, he was face to face with nature. But it was only for a moment that this feeling of helplessness lasted, because he was not really alone, for God was with him. David came to realize that in the vast expanse of creation, man was the crowning achievement of the Creator. And in spite of man's fallen state, God still deeply cared for this creature that had been made in his image. See, God's immeasurable love for man is seen in the sending of his Son to die that cruel death on the cross, so that we might be restored to full fellowship with God. I don't deserve any such favor. And you know, I don't know of anybody else that does deserve either. So no wonder David was in amazement. No wonder David was in awe, because it's hard to imagine that the Creator of this wonderful universe should have such an interest in me. You know, somehow we might justify Christ's death if we consider the billions who have lived, or maybe the billions who are now living, and who knows of the numbers that may yet live. And if we put them in one huge heap, we might think that Christ died for all that number. And he did. For John declares in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world. But it's more than this, and we need to understand it, because we need to be convinced that if it were just Bob and Sue, that if they were the only ones who had ever lived, well, let's just say Adam and Eve, if they were the only ones that had ever lived, Christ would have died for either one of them alone. You see, we should stand with David in amazement of such a fact. It's too worthy of note that although the King James translation there in Psalms 8 and verse 5 says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels," it's the American Standard Version and the New American Standard Version that uses God rather than angels. And that's truly in harmony with the original. The original, we know, that was written in Hebrew. The Hebrew word was Elohim, and that is a plural word which is usually translated God. In fact, we see that the same form is found over in Genesis 1 and verse 26, which says that God, again, Elohim, said, "Let us make man in our image." At times, the word is used with respect to magistrates, and on occasion refers to angels, but really, it's the American Standard and the New American Standard that is the one that I prefer on this verse. This is in keeping with the fact that only man is mentioned as being made in the spiritual image of God. Not an accident, but God especially created man, for it is only the human being that God has made in his image. And understanding this, let us never forget the exalted state in which man was created, that we might always strive to live up to our noble calling. There's a statement found in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." And that's what we as a human being, created in God's image, needs to be most concerned with each and every day that we live. Our manner of life. So again, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him but little lower than God, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. We are the creation of God, created in his image, and therefore we are accountable unto God. Let us understand that. For that very reason, we will give an account of that manner of conduct, that manner of life that we've talked about in Philippians 1, verse 27. There's a day of judgment coming. That will be when we will all stand before God, and we will give an account of the deeds that we've done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Because we are his creation, we will bow the knee to him at one day. We need to do the bowing now so that it will not be a bowing that we'll be forced to do, like what's told in Romans 14, verse 11. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Let that be a day that we will hear him say, "Come." No greater words will be heard than just that one four-letter word, "Come," for all of what it involves, for all of what is implied in it. But then there'll be another word that Jesus will speak, and that is, "Depart." And oh, what a significance and what an implication goes with that word. Let our manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let us know what the gospel of Christ is. Let us obey the gospel of Christ. And then live our life in accordance to it. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.